Welcome to the Casual Camping Podcast, your home for the best camping discussion both in and out of the field. Here are your hosts, Tim and Aid.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Casual Camping Podcast. I am Tim.
And I'm Aid. I was listening to our last episode today, Tim, and I was going, ooh, was that me that did the intro or was that Tim? And then obviously we sound quite similar while I'm listening back. It must be quite confusing for most other people.
Yeah, they probably just think it's one person with a split personality.
To me, to you.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been out camping again, so you know. Good for the soul. Good for the soul. And I know we were talking about how much rain we'd had in the UK and stuff, but it was just on the verge of being great.
Wow!
So a couple of days of good sunshine dried out the ground really well, and those who are listening and following us on our social, Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, you will have seen some pictures of setups and drones and all of those things. If you're not, why the hell not? Get on there. Get looking at some of those things.
God
put pictures
it.
To what your ears are hearing.
I've told you before, Eddie, we have faces for podcasts.
I know. Let's not video these ever.
No, let's not. Let's not. I'm in pyjamas. You're in pyjamas. This don't look good.
I've just driven for 3 hours to get home for this.
In pyjamas.
In pyjamas. It worked.
Did you go to the
Amster? Were looking at me a bit funny.
Oh, God. I've got some more lovely social media shout-out nonsense to put forward, if that's all right.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't surprise me at all. This is, you know, people are getting used to our weird sense of what we talk about, going all over the place, etc. That's me more than you, to be honest. But shoot.
Well, I ain't going to shoot nobody, but I can't remember if we did this one before, but I'm going to do it again because it's just bloody lovely. This is a genuine 5-star review, and its title is "Followed After My First Listen." And then it goes on to say, "Hands down, terrific show. As my review title says, I followed after listening to the first show, amazing camping show episode. And I'm working my way through your back catalogue. Just a fun, informative listen. I think you cover the perfect mix of gear, experience, location and background with a heavy dose of humour and banter. Well done. By the way, you had me at strippers."
Thanks, Mum.
that ain't your mum, unless she's changed her name. That's Daniel Hayes from the United States of America.
Daniel, thank you, and you're welcome, of course. We try and have a bit of fun. We do try and stay on topic. Sometimes we might not do, but this is why we started doing it, because we realized we were having these conversations anyway, and we were, you know, we're invested in camping. We like it. We get out there. We like the gear. It's all of those things. How about you, Tim?
It's, you know, we don't pretend to be experts in any of this stuff. And there's an awful lot of people out there doing stuff that they go into infinite detail about the tiniest little thing. And to be honest, they're really boring. And I think we enjoy camping. We enjoy camping equipment. We enjoy the gear. We enjoy talking about it, and we take the mick out of each other. We're not precious about it. We're casual. This is what we do. It's so if you like the banter, are, great.
Yeah. You know what we are experts in?
Go on.
Fireoki. Had a couple of comments about that. Like, how did that? Nobody else has come up with that name. We need to market that, Tim. Fireoki.
Fireoki. Fireoki. There's somebody down in Florida doing Fireoki. They're definitely going to give it a go. It's like, go for it. Go for it. Sing to those crocodiles. Are they crocodiles or gators down in Florida?
They're snappy things, to do with noses. That's all I know. And stay away from them.
They've got big teeth.
That could be me.
Told you, first for radio.
Okay, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about cool boxes and cool bags and ice boxes and ice chests and whatever it is you want to call it. I did read something somewhere that apparently in Australia they call them Eskies, and in New Zealand they call them a chili bin. But which I think I might rename mine a chili bin. Quite frankly, I quite like that.
they're just very good at shortening names. You know, I was giving people short nicknames when they were leaving us a mediocre 5-star review. Imagine if we had some Australian on here, like just going, "Nah, we call that beep, mate." Hell, that was Australian. No.
Yeah. And we just lost that New Zealand listener.
Bye. Come back.
No, right. So we're talking about cool boxes, which, you know, we've mentioned once or twice before, but we've never really gone into any detail. And there's a lot of, there's often, actually, if you're on any sort of camping groups and things like that, it's often something that comes up of, what should I get? Do I get electric? Do I not get electric? How big should I get? How do I keep everything cold? Is there a way of packing it? Blah, 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 blah. And these questions come up a lot. So, you know what? Let's talk about it. Should we start with just saying, what have we got? Like people who have listened before don't actually already know what you've got. But go on, Eddie. Tell people what you've got.
Well, I have... what's it called? Oh, yeah, that's it. It's a Yeti cooler, the Rode 48. So it's quite a big one. I had two Rode smaller ones, and then they brought one out on wheels. So I sold them because you can get good money for secondhand ones, and it paid for the other one. Yippee! Cool. You know, buy good gear, you can sell it on when you want to. That new big, nice, shiny thing on wheels comes along.
Can you ride it into a campsite?
Well, I can probably fall over the handle a couple of times. I've done that. What do you have?
I've got the big fat Stanley cool box. They do three different sizes, and I've just got the big fat one. Which is awesome. It's huge. It's really blooming heavy when you fill it with stuff, but it's and has suitable handles for that. But it is a fantastic piece of kit. It's a big lump of a cool box with a great big lid on it, super thick walls for loads of insulation, and it's not powered. You know, neither of these things are powered things that we've got. I then also have a Coleman material one that I use if I'm just going out for a day or a short thing, or if it's winter camping and I just want to put a bit of milk and cheese and bacon and things like that in it. You don't need a big cool box if it's already -5 outside. So I got a double combo.
Double combo. So you're equipped for any eventuality, I think, is what you're saying there. And I guess that both are brands that most people that are into camping will know of. They are pretty top brands.
Yeah.
And like with all things, we didn't start with those, did we, Tim? We didn't come in and go, I know, I'll buy the best.
No, my first cool box was from a charity shop. It was secondhand. And it was an unbranded plastic one that had a lid that kind of just rested on top and stayed there because you brought the handle up. And
is that one of them blue ones?
Yeah. Everybody's had a blue one.
I was in a charity shop today and there was one in there.
I should have bought it for old time's sake.
Well, I was gold just fishing it. Like, you know what? I've been there. I don't need another one.
Yeah. But that was the first one. I've had it at different times a couple of those just polystyrene tubs that you can get from certain supermarkets that you just use as like a temporary one. But they're not great because, you know, polystyrene, you know, it lasts for about 13 billion years. So it's not great for the environment. And they're so easy to crack and break. Yeah. And they're kind of single, use it once. And then it's just like, you know, you've got to sling it in the landfill. And it's not good. It's not good for the environment.
No. And that's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of people that come to camping, you know, realize that they're going away for a weekend and go, oh, I'll get a cool box. And over time, you realize that cool box, those little blue ones, they have their purpose and they will do certain things. But like with all things that we talk about, you know, it's that purpose. They're perfect for a night away. Boom, stick a load of ice in it. Oh, you know, they'll keep everything cool, keep it all contained. Bam. But you go for a couple of days and then you go, oh, okay, everything's warm by the following morning, kind of thing. Yeah, the ice has melted and
totally.
And stuff.
They're really aimed at sort of a picnic, aren't they? Or a day at the beach. They're not really aimed at like a couple of days or, you know, two nights camping. Because they're not gonna get there. And you've spoken many times before about green sausages or slimy sausages on the last morning that no one wants to eat. It's like
where that melted water has got into your sausage pack and it's like you can't even have the water.
Sausage don't do flavored it. Ice in your gin and tonic.
I mean, you laugh. There's been a couple of times where I'll be like, is that a bit of sausage meat on that ice? Oh, sorry, just pop it in. The gin will help.
Yeah, she won't notice.
That she was you.
You should have told me it's protein. Is this a protein gin? Oh, I think we just invented something. Protein gin.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? Of, I guess with anything, you're starting out going camping, you're doing stuff, you pick up some basic stuff, same with sleeping bags or mats and stuff like that. You buy them and you go, oh, that wasn't comfortable. Now, some people are put off by it and other people go, I'll buy something a little bit more substantial when either I can, money allows, or a longer trip, etc.
Yeah. And I do think you get what you pay for with cool boxes. And I know we talk about Yeti and we talk about Stanley, and somebody on one of our groups was talking about Canyon, which is a brand I've not come across, but I've been reading about them for the last few days. They do some fantastic looking stuff. It's, you know, there's Igloo that are massive, you know, they huge in America and have come over to the UK more latterly. And, but have been going since the 70s. There are lots of brands out there. But I think it's absolutely true of the rule that you get what you pay for. With cool boxes, it costs you more money to get more insulation, particularly if you're going with one that isn't. There's a term, and the term's gone out of my head. But
is it roto molded?
Oh no! Oh. With roto molded. I like
roto molded is what the Yeti and your Stanley are. I think there's also the first really hard cooler that I came across that looked brilliant and came in lots of different colours. So as my magpie instinct, that was like, ooh, what are they? It was Grizzly coolers.
Oh yeah,
and. Yeah, they had the bear resistant catches and had videos of bears trying to get into them and chewing them and couldn't. So if you're over in America, which a lot of our listeners are, and you're in the woods and you don't want to tie your food right up a tree or whatever it is, they're so manly. hunting right. Do that. Oh my God.
Whereas
you should be in America, Tim.
You'd be inside the cooler going, the bear's coming, so I'm going to get in the cooler. Because it says that I'm safe in the cooler.
I'm safe in the cooler, yes. So that was the ones that I saw. And then Yeti, similarly, but yeah, that's the one as I've talked myself into spending a bit more money. And there's longer camping trips that I've gone on, whereas that, you know, that's kind of the things that I wanted to do, really.
The term I was trying to think of was passive and active coolers. Wasn't a complicated thing. You think I'd have remembered that, but it so you got your passive, which is what we go with. So yes. Passive is it's essentially, it's holding on to the coldness that you're putting in the box with your chilled food and your cold drinks and then your ice packs and or ice or whatever else. And we'll come on to ice packs and ice and stuff in a minute. And then you've got your active ones, which are your electric ones or your gas powered ones. They're actively cooling what's inside there through other means. We're passive, aren't we? We're passive.
Yeah, we are. And in a lot of ways, you know, I think passive for me doesn't take too much extra. You don't need to have the charge. You're not expending gas and other things, all other things that you need to take with you, or you know, if it's in the car and you can hook it up, you're always a little bit worried about, is that draining the car battery, etc.
Totally.
What am I doing there? So the passive aspect to it is the bit that I've always gone with. I'm not saying it's right. It's just what I've done. And similarly to you, you have had a car one, haven't you, though? You did.
I've had an Outwell. One which is there's three types of electric ones, and the one I had was a thermoelectric cool box, which is an insulated cool box, and it uses a Peltier cooler and an electric fan to drive heat out of the box, so it's actively sort of drawing heat away from the box to keep everything chilled.
Can listeners just tell that Tim's done his homework? Well done, Tim.
Check out the big brain on Tim.
That's brilliant. Absolutely well done for doing some prep. This isn't scripted by any way, shape or form. We know what we're talking about, and we're able to witter on because we are good
witterers. We witter well.
We also whittle well. You whittle better than I do.
And we like winner well.
Yes. And I was saying rotor molded. So those hard coolers now. So that's a pressure injected into a shape. And where the cheap little blue thin ones, they don't have any insulation. It is just the barrier between inside and outside, a little bit like double glazing glass. You've got the outside glaze and the inside, and that protects you from whatever. So there's no insulation in between those cheaper ones that you can pick up for a fiver in a charity shop, like you say. But actually, you know, you want something that has got some better insulation. So it's a more expensive process. It tends to be quite thick plastic as well as the insulation. And there are steps to it. So, yeah, there are others that will do better than the cheap blue ones that we were talking about, mid-range kind of things that'll do quite well, and then there's some others. And for me, like I say, yes, okay, I've gone for the Rolls Royce or the top end, but that fits in every occasion, and that might not be necessarily. There are times now where I've gone for a night and it's a little bit too big, if I'm honest. It's another excuse I can go and get something else, but I also go, Oh, maybe not tonight, actually. I'm not going to fill that up, and it's quite big in the car, etc. So
yeah, I do struggle with the size of mine. It's a monster. It's a good looking monster.
Careful, ladies. Careful, ladies.
It's a good looking monster, ladies.
Are we talking about the cool box that you have, Tim?
Oh, sorry, wrong chat.
Oh dear, sorry about that.
I do struggle with the size of my cool box sometimes. which
come on, Tim, let it go. It's too many double entendres.
Oh my god, let's just carry on camping.
It really is.
But that's why I've got the smaller one as well. That's why I've got the Coleman, because I really like that. I bought that in I'm not sure if it was a Target or if it was what's the big supermarket in America?
Bloomingdale's? Safeway?
No, I don't know. I can't remember. I bought it in America in California anyway. It's brilliant. And it was great, because it's a material one, so it's not going to last more than a day if you put a load of ice and stuff in it. But I really like the fact that it's got a an open up flap on the top that you can just reach in and just get a can out without having to open the whole thing up, which is great. It's a picnic one, but and it's squashed down flat, so it came back in a case from the States, and it's a really cool Coleman cool box that if I don't need to take the really big Stanley one, that's the one that comes away with me. If I'm just doing one night, then it will be absolutely fine for one night. And it's a cracking piece of kit. And as Coleman, it's well made. It's Coleman. It's going to last forever.
If they've been doing it a long time, they know what they're doing.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I guess that. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Different occasions. There's not one thing that fits everything. And we've said it before about other things. It's changing it up for what you want. Actually, the difference of if I'm going by myself and it's a drinking one, I might need to take the big one, because I can drink quite a bit, to be honest.
You can put it away.
Yeah, get the food, steaks, cooking for everybody. But also, actually, that fast and light, going away, it's middle of winter, I don't need everything chilled as much as I would. So last weekend, I didn't take one at all, because I was like, you know what, it's cold on an evening, I think I can just get away with it. Beers were in the bucket, and the food I was going to eat that night. So I didn't, a bit like you were saying. But then if somebody else is coming with me and it's a couple of nights, it then starts to be.
Yeah.
And the other added extra is when you've got something really good, and this is the downsize, Tim. Downside. When you've got other people that then come camping with you and go, oh, have you got room in your thing for milk?
Yeah. Camping etiquette people,
Yes.
I've brought
myself. Sort yourself out.
Don't, I'm fine if I've got a grill burning and you want like a little bit of the grill to do your burger on. But my cool box is my cool box, I'm really careful about how many times I open that lid, because the more time, it's a passive cooler system. So the more times you open the lid, the more hot air gets in there and you're cutting down your chill time. If someone else is using that as well, that's an absolute.
You might as well just leave the lid open.
You may as well just put it in the sun.
Yes, just throw it away, Tim. It's off.
Just kick it over and storm off.
That's the way I react. You're made of sterner stuff, Tim. I'd go, prima donna.
Yeah, of course.
Who's the princess?
Put it in there. Yeah, you are the princess. Princess did get used.
I went camping. It's the first thing my friend said. All right, princess. I did suspect there was some pressure to listen to the podcast before I turned up. Oh, yeah. Yes, I've listened to it. I am listening and stuff. I was like, yeah, okay, good. Thank you. We're in the thousands. It's not just our friends anymore, those two.
No, it's not. It's not. It's so the next thing I was going to say was, you know, because some of these things look quite big, you know, and mine is massive. Yours is massive. It's but actually, when you open the lid of some of them, you know, we were at the outdoor camping show the other week, and there was some cool boxes there. And when you actually open up the lid, because there's that much insulation, there's not a lot of space inside. Yeah. So it is absolutely, not only is it one of the things that you need to, you get what you pay for. So you need to pay a bit more to get the quality, but you really, really need to go and actually have a look at these things, because it might look like a massive size, and you know, they're on, oh, so many liters, so many quarts, so many, you know, they give you all these numbers that are a bit, well, what does that equate to?
Yeah.
And, You've got to go and have a look at it. You've got to go and have a look and actually open it up and think, yeah, I can drink more beer than that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And actually, so my one on wheels is 48, whatever that is. I think you can get something like 48 cans in it or something. That's really heavy to get in and out of the car.
Yeah.
Really heavy to, you know, it's like, ooh, yeah, when I get a little bit older, I'll be asking my son to put that in and take it out again. So it's still talking about coolers, Tim.
Poor Nye taking you to the Pornaloo. Anyway, moving on.
But yeah, so there is that about actually, you know, if it's just a handle strap and you're going to go a long way with it, actually, can you carry that way? Mm-hmm. Does it need to be on wheels? It depends, you know, if you're taking for a full group. But yeah, they can get really heavy.
Well, the idea with them, you know, whether it's passive or active, is that actually they work best by being full. And if you know, whatever size cool box you're taking, if you fill it, it's obviously then going to be heavier, isn't it? So you've just got to, if you've only half filled it, it's not going to be as effective. It's not going to work as well. But if it's full, it's going to be really heavy. It's going to be a big lump to move around.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? So kind of some tips. Next bit for me was like, so what are the tips with having a cooler? You know, they do say, certainly for Yeti, that actually it should be half, I think it's half or a third filled with ice, you know, so it's not just fill it up and then put a little bit of ice on it. You've got to have almost half and half ratios to keep it going.
Yeah, which is why I freeze some of the things that are going in. So some of my beers will be frozen. And I'm using those as extra freezer packs then instead of, or extra ice, because they're great. They'll be the beers I'll drink last. Well, you know, I can drink for a few days.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that you drink more ales and stuff. I've frozen. I used to do that with lagers, which is, you know, Budweiser's, Foster's, you know, a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to my lagers, like you are with your ales. But it's quite fizzy, and actually freezing those takes away the fizz. So I've stopped doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you get the same thing with the bitters, though, do you?
Not really, not particularly. It's not just the beers. So I might not do the beers, but I might do, I do like a soft drink and, you know, little cartons of orange juice. They're really nice if you freeze those. It just helps, you know, and it means you can pack it more and use less ice. And that's probably the next thing really is, with the ones that we use, do you use ice blocks? Do you use loose ice, or do you use gel packs.
Ooh, so I have a mixture of both. The Yeti ice packs, because I've read that they are the best out there, and ice on top. So I kind of have a ice block on the bottom, Yeti ice on the bottom, get my stuff in, throw a load of ice on, and then top it with another Yeti block on the top.
Yeah.
And they do a really handy little PDF of which cooler you've got as to which gel blocks, which Yeti ice blocks you would put in there and stuff.
Cool. Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
I tend to use ice. I do have some freezer blocks, but they're generic ones. They, you know, and they work fine, but I tend to use those if I'm using the Coleman one, because it's not as insulated. The Stanley one, I tend to pack a load of ice in. I put some ice in the bottom. Anything that's going in there is either coming out of the freezer or the fridge. So everything's going in already chilled to the right temperature or cooler. And then there's more ice goes on, and I try and really pack it then with tons of ice that goes on top, and get the lid on it, and try not to touch it. But I've been reading up about freezer gel packs, which are like squidgy frozen gel packs. They use them a lot. They've come out of sort of like industrial packaging for getting food around, and the medicines business. And I first actually saw them a few years ago when listeners will know now that I work in the NHS, and when we were setting up COVID vaccination clinics and stuff like that, the vaccines would arrive with these gel packs, sort of squidgy gel packs that were really, really cold. And it was like, oh, they're a bit different. I've not really played around with those before. And you got rid of them. And now I'm wishing I kept them all, because actually you can refreeze them as many times as you like. And the reason they use them in industry is because they have a much more stable temperature throughout the life, and they keep cold much, much longer than ice packs or ice do. And I'm going to start looking for some actual gel packs rather than ice blocks, because they're cleaner as well. They tend to not get the condensation on the outside of them, so it tends to not create any moisture inside your cool box. And if they do burst, they're not toxic or anything, so they won't damage your food or anything like that. It's
So there's then a shout out to, here's some interactive bit, listeners. If you've used gel blocks, we'd love to hear from you. Messages on Instagram, Facebook, and wherever you can find us. We'd love to know if you've got some better version of that. And I remember when we met up at the outdoor show that Richard was saying he takes water, but he freezes them beforehand and uses them as ice blocks, so that actually there's no wasted space there, because he'll drink the water. Here's a safety tip though: if you're freezing beers, not the beers in glass, okay? They explode.
Yes they do. Some of your cans do as well, really. I've had cans that have burst. Do have to be a little bit careful. The good thing with the gel blocks, the squidgy gel blocks, is when you're talking about using up all the space,
yeah,
they conform, so you can really squash them in, and they go round. They take up all those tiny spaces, and really pack it in. So I'm definitely going to have a look for some gel packs.
So the other thing that you've just reminded me, really, with these coolers, the bigger ones that you get, maybe you spend a little bit more, they tend to come with a drain plug as well.
Yeah.
So your ice does actually melt, and actually you can just get rid of the water out of the bottom if you want to. Sometimes keeping the water there and keeping some ice works. Your ice will always melt. It's the other things that you're trying to keep cool. So
yeah. The Stanley one's got a drainage plug on it, and it is really handy. Actually, it is. Yeah. It is really handy.
I really like a lot of the, so, you know, we've talked about the ones that we've got, I do like the Dometic ones. I've seen some, and they do two versions. There is a sort of less expensive one. Their more expensive one is comparable to Yeti. There's a lot out there that are comparable prices. And the ones that are a step down, I think, oh, actually, they'd be quite good for a kind of night something. They're still hard ones. Yeti do a load of soft coolers, and I've seen other people doing those as well. So
yeah, there's a lot of soft coolers, sort of next generation soft coolers that are still still really they've got a high thermal property, so they'll keep things really cold without needing the thickness. They're really quite clever material. I like some of those. They're not big, so they tend to be sort of overnight stuff or picnic stuff, something like that. There's a few backpacks that different brands are bringing out as well now as well, so insulated backpacks, which are pretty cool.
Yeah, I love the ones that say Yeti do, and I like.
Do you
brands.
Love Yeti?
I do love Yeti for some reason, but the price is crazy. You know, I would have thought that those softer ones would be less. So
this week we are following the release of this episode, where we're going to have sort of a challenge. I mean, it's not a direct competition because we've got different products, but we're on our social medias, we're going to fill our cool boxes with our respective, you know, gel packs, ice, whatever you like, and we're going to have a look at them every day and see how many days we get out of your Yeti and out of my Stanley. We've got a couple of thermometers to check the temperatures, and we'll be sticking those up on the socials so you can have a look.
So it's kind of like a little test, but just so that you can visually have a representation of what we do. So, and you know,
it's a good one as well. It's an ice off.
Ice off. You off, Tim.
Cool. So we are going to go to our minute mindfulness. But before we do that, just want to say we've got something quite special to tell you about after the minute mindfulness. So make sure you listen to it all and come back after you're all settled down and calm with your nice bit of minute mindfulness. So off we go.
Welcome to the Casual Camping 1 Minute Mindfulness. Let the sounds of the outdoors take you back to the camping field.
Was lovely. I love that.
Yeah, it does remind you, and it does hopefully inspire some people to get out. So Tim, I'm waiting with bated breath. I know the surprise. You're going to share it with our listeners.
Well, you and I, we are going to the Bushcraft show this year, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
It's something
awesome.
It's something I've looked at the last two or three years, really, and thought I nearly went to it last year, but the dates just didn't work out with stuff. And I thought, you know what, this year it's got to be a Bushcraft show year. And we are going to do it. Casual Camping Podcast is going to be at the Bushcraft show. What are the dates for it, Ed?
It's 25th to the 27th of May. So it's only next month. And yeah, I mean, the great people there, obviously anybody that has read the Bushcraft magazine, you can get a subscription for that. It's absolutely wonderful tips about from experts in their field doing various things. And the God himself is actually at the show this year. Ray, you know who I'm talking about. Yes.
To us, it's Ray Mears, but to other people, it might be Lofty Wiseman, who is a god of survival skills and military service. I'm really excited. You know, we do a little bit of bushcraft, but there's stuff that we don't know how to do. You know, I really want to do friction fire. I'd really like someone to show me how to use that fire piston that I've never been able to get an ember from. And there is tons of stuff there of every kind of sort of skill session, whether it's basket weaving, whether it's canoeing, kayaking, there's water sports, there's archery, there's stuff for the family. You can camp if you want to camp in the woods, you can camp in the woods, you can have a little fire. There's a very much an ethos of leave no trace throughout the whole thing, which is very much, you know, what we've talked about numerous times. There's loads of stuff about camp cooking. It's just going to be a really great, cool, chilled out festival. And I think this year they've got the Maasai Warriors turning up, which is just going to be so cool.
Just absolutely amazing. So location, it's right in the middle of the country, so it couldn't be easier for anybody to get to. And I don't want any excuses from our listeners in America. Come on, you can get on a plane.
You can. They're actually, you can even pay and they'll put a tent up for you. So, you know, you can come over here and you don't have to bring all your camping gear with you. It's the people from the Bushcraft show were actually at a Bushcraft show in the US just a few weeks ago. So, you know, vice versa. Come across the pond. Come and join us. It will be fantastic. If any of our listeners do want to join us at the Bushcraft show, the organisers have been very kind to provide you with a discount code, which a unique. Yeah. Yeah, actually, that deserves a yee-haw. Yee-haw!
Yee-haw! Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So it's a unique discount code, and it is CCP15, and it'll give you 15% off, which is pretty awesome, really.
Well, it really is. You know, for a whole weekend of bushcraft and camping and celebrities and experts. So if you want to take advantage, you're free that weekend. Shuffle some things around. Make sure you're free that weekend. And you can buy your tickets at bushcraftshow.co.uk. And it's just there on the first thing. But there's a load of information on there. And if you want to subscribe to their magazine, you know, I'm sure they'd be grateful. I'm really looking forward to it, Tim. I'm so excited.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. Absolutely brilliant. You know, it'd be great to see some of the listeners there. It'd be great to, you know, have a bit of a meetup. It'd be absolutely cool. There is a bar. I have checked that out. It's
wonderful.
You don't need to bring all the wood with you for your campfires, because they are going to sell wood on site, which is great. So it's going to be brilliant. It's even dog friendly. You can bring your dogs, so you know what more can you want? You can't do that to a Glastonbury, can you?
No, you really can't. Brilliant. Well, what a way to end the show. What an exciting thing. And do reach out if there's any more details that anybody wants. But hopefully we get to see some people, make some more friends at the Bushcraft show.
Absolutely brilliant. So we'll stick all these details on our socials as well, so that people can see them. But yeah, cool. Fab. Well, I hope you liked the episode about cool boxes. I hope you liked our little bit of news at the end, and we will catch you next time. I've been Tim.
I've been Aid. Keep camping.